Tally, good to be able to sing together.
Amen.
Appreciate so very much your presence this morning. Glad to see Brother Harris back with us again this morning as well. I want to try to make a comparison this morning between the physical and the spiritual. We all understand we are physical beings, but we are spiritual beings as well. And sometimes it's sort of hard to put the spiritual above the physical. We're so much keyed into the dangers of the physical. For example, most of our homes have some kind of security device. We have guns if we need to. We have police. We're very aware of all the dangers when you get out and get into the world. Anything bad is liable to happen to you. But sometimes we don't realize how you make that same switch to the spiritual things because the devil is so sly. So we want to talk about this morning from the standpoint of Satan's sly tactics, which sometimes disarm us. For example, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, as an example of our fear in the physical world, my wife will no longer go to Walmart by herself, because there have been a number of times when someone will snatch purses. And not too long ago, a lady held on to her purse. They drove by and grabbed her purse out the car window. She held on to it and they ran over her. And so you're aware that you could be mugged almost any time. We're aware of that kind of danger. And yet here Peter is saying the devil is out there. And he's like a roaring lion and he's hungry. So he's seeking whom he may devour. Also in Ephesians 6:11 and 16, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." So the devil is out there. And we're very aware of the physical danger when we get out. We could have a wreck. We could be hit by a drunk driver. All the things that are possible to happen to us in the physical world. But sometimes we just so go blindly along, not aware that the devil has also things about us. So I want to make an analogy this morning about an alligator. And we all know that an alligator is something to beware of. You go to a park and you'll see somebody feed an alligator. And if you've been watching television, you'll find out somebody get caught by the alligator. Well, the thing that I want to stress this morning is, why are we more afraid of physical danger than spiritual danger? We just go along every day being aware that we could get hit by a car, we could be robbed, we could have a quick death, like Brother Rich that we're talking about over. He was here during a meeting. He went to services Wednesday night, stood up, led a prayer, and slumped down and died. Now, we understand that's a good way to go, but it also reminds us physically we could die any time. And so we have to be aware then of these physical dangers, but we also need to be aware of the spiritual dangers. And how to behave around an alligator tells us some things about how to behave about Satan, and to understand that. With regard to alligators, when you go to a park, there's some rules that you have to follow, and there are different reactions to the rules. Just like there are different reactions to the Bible, you go into a park and you may see somebody that shuns all the advice and throws it in the trash about being aware of the alligators. Put rules in your pocket. I'll read those later. I'm not worried about alligators. And then read and follow the rules and enjoy the park, because there is something to be said about that kind of nature. It's a brutal nature, but it's part of the physical world around us. But now then, when you're in the park, you're in the alligator's world. And you remember not too long ago, a few years ago, down at Disneyland in Florida, a little boy was standing on the beach and an alligator came out and grabbed him, and under he went and he killed that young boy. And so when you're in those areas, you're in an alligator's world. I was playing golf one time in Florida and my ball went over close to a canal and I went toward it and there was an alligator. And I had a discussion with myself. How important is that golf ball? compared to my life. But then when I realized that if I didn't get that bald, I'd lose a stroke, I went and got it. So, you know, you have to beware when you're in that alligator's world, because he's there. But we have to learn something. We're in the world and you're in Satan's territory. Every single minute that you're out there, he's loose and he's roaming. And I wonder if we really let that sink into us. We're not really worried about alligators today. We're in the building and we're away from that. But the devil, you know, can invade our minds even while we're in services. Amen. He's dangerous. And so 2 Corinthians 4 says, "To whom, or in whom, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." And so there's thousands and thousands of people this morning that are not worshiping God. They're staying home sleeping. When I came down this morning, I'd see newspapers lying in the yards. They hadn't gotten up yet and got the newspaper. And they're just sleeping on this Lord's Day without recognizing the devil has them.
Amen.
And, you know, if they open the front door, and this happens in Florida quite a bit, you open your front door and there's an alligator on your porch. You have to beware of that sort of thing. But we just don't do that with regard to Satan. The world is unaware of the devil and his slyness and his viciousness, and we need to beware ourselves about that. And so God has rules to follow in Satan's world. Just like we follow the rules in the park we go to, God has rules in this world, and we need to realize that these rules are here to keep us safe from the devil. So in Psalms 119, verse 105, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. It tells me how to avoid the devil.
Amen.
If I'll read the Bible, just understand and read the Bible. And John 6:63 is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And so if I want to go to heaven, I have to avoid the devil.
Amen.
And I've got to be aware that I walk that straight path. We talked about that some this morning in class. And to recognize that God has given us directions about how to be safe in this world. Yes, I'm in Satan's world, and I need to be aware of that, but I have safeguards that has been given to me. And so we say, beware of things like that. The devil is not only is said to be a lion, but is also said to be a serpent. But I fear, Paul said, lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Colossians 2:4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with enticing words. This idea of the devil being a serpent. One of the brethren at Florida College a number of years ago made a speech and wrote an article in which he said that in talking about Genesis 3 and the fact that the devil is portrayed as a serpent, that this story was borrowed from mythological things to help us realize the danger of sin. So he was saying it's mythological. And it's not.
No.
Jesus himself talked about this. Paul talked about this. The devil is just so real, he's not mythical. And when somebody who's a member of the church and an older preacher says something like that, it disturbs me, because he lets people think the devil is not as bad as he really is, and he's even worse than that. So God's commandments are good because they keep us in the right safe place. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. That's Deuteronomy 6. And so the Israelites would realize through Moses that here's the safe way to go. And to go through life unaware of the devil and his wiles is putting our life on the line, our spiritual life. So we need to recognize and understand this. Colossians 3:25, "For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which is done, and that without partiality." So we have to face God as we have lived with the devil. If I do wrong, I've got to suffer the consequences of that. And if I'm not aware of the danger of the devil, then I could go to an alligator park and just go right on in, walk in the water, and be consumed, because that's the way it goes. Galatians 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. Pardon me, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Those are our choices. It's always been simple. You know, we get so involved sometimes in why this is right and why that is wrong, and really it's simple. There's a right and there's a wrong. People sometimes talk about the gray areas. Those gray areas would be the places where you walk on the beach and not concerned about the alligator till he reaches out and tries to get you. Most of us have seen wildlife stories on television, National Geographic, and things about migration. And when the animals migrate, they cross the rivers. And when they get to the river, they're aware there's a danger of that, but they've got to cross that river. And then the alligators come out and just feast and feast and feast because they have to cross that river. Well, we don't have to, but we've used illustrations before about somebody who believes in precipice life. That is, they'll stand just as close as they can to the edge without actually falling over. So in the analogy this morning, you're on the beach and you're just seeing how close to the water you can get, not caring maybe that the alligators are there. Well, that's the way people do about sin. People go to bars, they go to dirty movies, they go to various kinds of things, and it seems like they want to just get just as close to the devil as they can without letting him in, when in reality they're already in danger. Amen. They're doing things that are so wrong that will help them, help the devil capture them. So we have to learn about that. Rule number one, when you get to the park, is don't feed or annoy the alligators. And I'm afraid of the devil.
Amen.
I really am. I know that I preach the gospel, and in that sense, I thumb my nose at the devil. But I'm frightened of him because I know his power. And sometimes, and most of the time, in my prayers, I pray to keep us from the evil one. Because I know he's around, I know he's lurking, and I wouldn't go into an alligator park and walk up to the edge and hold out a chicken because he might mistake me for a chicken. And so you know, you have these fears in the physical world, you won't do that. But then we play easy to get with the devil, and the Bible tells us, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Now that's good advice, because we're away from the devil when we do that. And 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. So I understand that passage to be saying when evil appears, whatever it is, you abstain from it. When evil appears, just don't have anything to do with it. Well, that's one of the rules that's good about alligators, but it's also good about spiritual things. When evil appears, and people find wicked things to do with nearly everything. You know, email and the internet for many years have been a source of much pornography. And a lot of people just delve in that sort of thing, and they know that it's evil, but they still participate in that. And when they do, the devil's got them. They may enjoy that for a while, but then here's something that's going to cause them to be lost. And we have to recognize that. So sometimes we're not as strong as we think we are. And I would say, very plainly, don't play around with pornography and evil things on your internet.
Amen.
It has an addiction quality, I'm told. And I could give you the names of two or three preachers who have been sucked into that, who've lost their soul, who's quit the Lord, And now they've become addicted to this kind of pornography. And I was in Baytown in a meeting one time and talked with one of the preachers, and he was talking about that. He recognized he had a weakness for it. Well, later on, found out he had spent $70,000 in buying pornographic stuff, and he lost his wife, lost his soul, quit the church because it grabbed him. Just grabbed him. Now, I can see that with an alligator. Somebody gets too close to the beach down in Florida, they have all these ponds, and they'll hear the alligators roar at night. And you have to watch your pets. If your pets get out too close to the pond, the alligator will get them, but they'll get you too. And so these things are there that's real. And I know that in the world, there are things that will grab you and suck you in and eat you up that are wicked things that we have to watch for. Somebody says, well, I can handle a little alcohol. And then they become a drunk. Wine is a mocker, the Bible tells us. Strong drink is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. And so somebody is walking down the street and there's a bar. And they say, well, I'll just have one little glass of wine, or I'll just have one little glass of beer. One beer won't hurt me. I was at the Florida College Lectures quite a few years ago, and they were discussing that. I think I mentioned it some time ago. One of the teachers that was making the lecture that day was saying that a little wine was not too bad. And a man stood up and said, I want to correct you. He said, 35 years ago, somebody offered me a little wine, and I took it, and I woke up 35 years later a drunk. My life has been ruined because of that. Amen. And so it'll suck you in, and it's not wise. The Bible tells you that. Don't look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. I've been in the house looking at the television around noon, and you see soap operas. And most of them have women and men with a glass in their hand. They're drinking wine. They're drinking beer. And on some of the shows that you think are just good mystery shows, NCIS and various things like that, you'll see them pick up a beer bottle and drink it. And that's just part of society, we're told. And yet at the same time, how many people have been killed by alcohol or drunk drivers? And so here's the Bible saying, stay away from this alligator. He'll get you. And he really will. Then we're not as strong as we think we are, so let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So somebody says, well, that movie is not going to affect me. Well, it's rated R. What do you think is going to happen in an R-rated movie? Amen. And not only that, you can go to places where they have triple X-rated movies. When we drive to Oklahoma sometime, when you get close to the border, off to the right, there's an triple X-rated store. And you see truck drivers pull in there. Now, they're not there because they're faithful to their wives. They're not there because they have pure motives. They're there to indulge in wickedness. And you see that, and you say, don't you understand the danger to that? And they really don't. But what about the movie you go to or the movie you watch? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. See, that's the lesson of the Lord against Satan. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. See, this guards you from the devil. And if we could guard ourselves from the devil like we guard ourselves from alligators, we wouldn't be too bad. And then, my old friends won't cause me to sin. And we're sadly dealing with a member of the church who's now back with his old friends. And he's into the drug culture and these things. And so, my old friends won't cause me to sin. Yes, they really will. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And what kind of company are you keeping? And in Proverbs 1, here's the wise man saying to his son, don't be led by these thieves, who will say, cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. He says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. But you see how that fixes with our analogy? You wouldn't walk knowingly into danger, seeing the backs of alligators and their snouts just above the water. You wouldn't go swimming in that. You know you wouldn't do it because it's so dangerous. Well, keep your foot from the devil's path. Keep ourselves pure. And that's the good things to understand. And so these things help us to understand. Missing one service won't hurt me. How many people have fallen away? One service maybe bothers their conscience. But then they do it and they miss another one. Doesn't hurt quite so much. And this they miss another service and it doesn't hurt at all. And that's the way the progression of it is. Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so we have this problem. I'll let my child do this. It won't hurt. We'll stop right there. I've witnessed parents putting their children in dance classes. Amen. They want them to be a ballet. They want them to have dance lessons to be graceful and that sort of thing. Then when they get older and they go to the prom and they go to the other dances, the worldly dances, then they're gone. And you say, well, where did I go wrong? You go wrong when you let them do something wrong in early years and don't teach them the right way to go. And so would you let your child see how close to a snake or an alligator he or she would get? Would you do that? Well, would you let your children then learn dancing, which may corrupt their souls? And you can see that happen, and I've seen it happen literally along that way. There was a piece on Facebook or the internet not long ago about a family adopted a dog. And the dog was very loving and good, but the mother noticed one day it took the child by the nape of the neck and threw it. But what happened was it was getting close to a snake, and the dog realized that and threw the child out of the way, but the dog got bit and nearly died. And so you see, these sort of things do happen sometimes, and the devil is sly. He puts on sometimes angel's wings, and sometimes he entices by things you want to enjoy, and all the time he's a snake.
Amen.
He's evil. There's a parable that is told by some about a man going to swim across a river. And there was a snake there, and the snake said, let me ride on your back. I promise you I won't bite you. And so the man let him ride on his back, and as he got to the other shore, the snake bit him. He said, well, you said you wouldn't do that. Well, he said, I'm a snake, you know. Snakes do that sort of thing.
Amen.
And that's where the devil is. He'll promise you nearly anything, but he'll bite you.
Amen.
And I'm afraid of him. And I know that he's got a target on me because I preach the gospel and warn people about him. But I have the prayer to deliver me from the evil one. We need to stay far away from the paths of sin, not to see if we can walk the tightrope or get to the precipice. Well, I'm going to close early today. Because some are planning to go over to Lancaster for the funeral, the viewing this afternoon. And we have singing tonight, so I'll finish up a little bit of this tonight as we have our singing. So hope and pray that I'm not being melodramatic or juvenile when I compare our danger from Satan to an alligator. Here's something. It's something where we understand physical danger better than we understand spiritual danger. I'm trying to get across that just like we need to make plans to avoid physical danger, We need to make plans to avoid spiritual danger by walking in the pathway of righteousness. If you're here this morning and the devil has bitten you in some way and caused you to commit sins that you need to repent of, we hope and pray that you'll do that this morning. We'll pray with you and for you that sins can be forgiven. And prayer will fight the devil. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we invite you forward while we stand together and sing this morning.